Yeah, so I'm thinking about the elections, right? And wait, I still don't understand. Why are you traveling that long distance?
For the love of God.
By using flight, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's if it's bus.
Flight.
I can't, if it's bus, I'll stay back. Can't do 12 hours on the road.
Oh, but two throws. Hope it's not too expensive.
I think about 80K or so.
Damn. You love your country.
But
they
love, people are actually traveling into the country.
You love your country.
To vote. And I'm seeing tweets of people at the airport just arriving, about leaving.
I don't know why they are telling us.
So there's a lot at stake here, right? Let's even take our tech space, for instance. And how, yeah, it looks like, oh, we've raised this amount of money, we've become blah, blah, blah. But you've only just scratched the surface of the possibilities.
And tech. Also the conduciveness.
Conducive environment.
The space for... Good. I remember writing something about which country was that in Congo. Sometimes, I think in 2020. And the founder just had to mention the fact that the level of bureaucracy in that country is terrible. And it can kill your startup. Eventually, the startup died.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, as if he actually predicted it or something. But yeah, so we don't want to get to that point, but we can still get better. So the state of the country is very, very important when it comes to how tech businesses are run.
Yeah, so I just want to wish everybody a safe journey wherever they're going to. Some people are going long distances. Some people are going to be going through really, really shaky. I mean, you shouldn't have to be that way. You should be able to vote anywhere you are in Nigeria.
Or in the world.
Even in the world, right? But yeah, there are stories we've written about e-voting.
The possibility.
Possibilities. There are possibilities, but of course, there are always issues. And for those of you who have a stake in the tech space, this administration, the outgoing administration, has already given us a parting gift, the Startup Act. And they brought one that is not just for startup recently, the Transformation Act or something like that, for businesses in general, to provide conducive environment. So now that that act is going to, now that the act has gone live, it's important that you are aware of those acts, the laws, and what they can do for you. And the decisions on who you should vote for, try to vote for who you feel will be the most, who you feel comfortable will implement.
Please vote for someone that will vote. Sometimes people's feelings are subjective. Vote for someone, and you know, vote for someone that will actually do what they say they will do, please.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a lot of awesome laws.
I don't want to leave Nigeria.
You don't want to leave Nigeria. That's good for you. Now, we started it on a very, very somber note. So let's get bright. Let's get bright. Everybody, smile, smile, smile. So,
smiling.
Yeah, we have reasons to be smiling. Today is Oluwanifemi's birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yes.
You can see her with the birthday attire, birthday outfit, birthday clothes.
You don't have to make it sound like that.
Yeah, and the birthday hair.
Yeah, please notice the hair.
Yeah. So should we sing for you?
Sorry for anything.
You want to?
Can you imagine? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. You guys join in now. Join in. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
I'm so emotional.
It should be this.
Oh, man. Nobody sang for me on my birthday. Last week, Monday.
Schedule your birthday to fall on the podcast.
Okay.
Because we sang for you online.
Okay, that's so many, many happy birthdays. Where are we shutting down?
Everybody should stay in the house and pray for Nigeria. Wow. Go out if you have privacy and vote.
Shutting down her bullying unit.
Please don't let the SS hear you.
I beg.
Don't shut down any bullying unit, I beg. Yeah, so... Yeah, there are a lot of bad actors in the Nigerian election space, but of course, the bad actors, the strange actors, and the weird actors, they're everywhere. Even this, our startup space. Last year, it was Glasgow's back to back, from Bento to Rice Vest to Health Lane, just Glasgow's one after the other. Now, we've already started the year with something else.
Yes.
We're hearing that Dash's founder and CEO has been suspended. What happened?
So Dash is a fintech startup in Ghana, or based in Ghana, and the founder and CEO has been suspended, allegedly suspended for he has been placed on administrative leave pending the outcomes of an investigation. That's the official statement from the startup. But the other part of the unofficial statement is that he's being accused of financial misreporting. So basically, financial misreporting is, you know how when you're praying, they say sense of omission and sense of commission. So either something you intentionally left out or something you intentionally misreported. So you made an error, or you didn't add something, or you lied about something, basically. So that was what he's being accused of. And I mean, that happened over the weekend, I think Friday, and a lot of founders were talking about it. So the idea was they raised a seed round last year, 32.8 million, which was huge for 32. Any startup. Yes. That's huge for any startup. And it's a seed round, so it's huge for any startup, not to talk of a fintech startup based in Ghana. And at the time, a lot of people did not know Dash at the time. So some people raised eyebrows, like, who are these guys and how are they able to raise this much money? So now it's coming out that they initially wanted to raise $8 million, but they did that and exceeded it. So they had some really crazy growth. So going from 250, from processing about $250 million to $1 billion in transactions, and the number of customers they were supposedly serving just grew a whole lot. So they went from, basically zero to 100 in a very short period of time. So that, on the back of that, it enabled them raise that much money, which was significantly higher than they had initially wanted to raise. So it's now looking like they misrepresented numbers in the process.
Fed investor Zobo.
Exactly. So,
quote Zobo.
Yeah. And some questions were being asked that how much due diligence did these investors do
before investing the money
for them to fall victim? But then even the almighty JP Morgan was a victim of such. I think it was this year, right?
Yeah, this year. Yeah,
so everybody they collect.
Yeah. And stuff like this will make you, could make anyone start questioning the validity of those claims by fintech companies when they say they are processing these huge transaction volumes, right?
Yeah.
Probably, yes, hearing this now, when another company says they're processing 3 million transactions every month, you'll be like,
skeptical.
Some questions have come again. But one way to know, there are some companies that you actually see that these guys, they're actually doing what they say they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are some fintech companies where if you go to any shop, if you go to any, you are seeing people using their
devices. So, you know, the problem with them is the period, the time.
Yeah.
The time frame was too small. I think within a year, they were able to go from about 250, processing 250 million to, or less than a year, to $1 billion.
What if they had
dollars?
A crazy market entry strategy like OP?
Well, that would, you knew OP, right? Everybody, regardless of what part of Nigeria you were in, you saw.
Which is like a sign of when OP says they process this amount,
you can now say, oh, okay, I've been seeing people around a lot. So there's a very good
chance.
What
about Money Point? Did you know them before?
So that's the thing. I knew Money Point. I didn't know that it was a team up product.
Okay, you knew Money Point.
Yes, because I would go to a POS agent and I would see that they are using Money Point. But I mean, I never really did any research to be like, who are these guys and all, but I knew the brand Money Point. It's similar to how I recently started seeing Pampi POS, but I've also noticed that I haven't seen it enough. So if they come and tell me that, oh, processed $10 billion last year, I'm going to think about it because I'm not seeing a lot of them around. So it's basically the same thing. You have really impressive numbers, but the man on the street Does you know? I think we're having a conversation. I was having a conversation with Bolu last week about something like this. If you say you're doing this, and your users can't see you, or the people in the market that you supposedly serve can't see you, then I don't know what kind of business you're running, but it's suspicious.
That's a fair point. So, okay, I'm not going to drag that further. We have an article about it now. I'm also working on a follow-up story to see what really went on behind the scenes at Dash. But moving on from that, Dash was a Ghanaian fintech startup, right? Mm-hmm. So we now have Vodafone, UK giant telecom company, selling off his stake completely. They've completed the sale of their stake in Vodafone Ghana to a new telco, Telecel Group. Now, what's interesting about this is Telecel Group has just been witnessing like a resurgence since 2017. They're not really that. So they're very, very old telco that was founded years ago, but now they're coming back with full force. And the thing with telcos now in Nigeria, why do I keep saying telcos?
Telcos, I understand, it's the brain.
Okay, so the thing with telcos, right, they are facing a huge pressure. The voice and data business is very, very huge. But one thing I can see in MTN and Airtel, which are like one of the biggest in Africa, one thing I can see with both of them is voice is shrinking and data is increasing. So once voice shrinks to a certain level, what becomes of the telcos? So that there's now talk of diversification. So that's the way we talk about media. We can't keep depending on ad revenue, even though ad revenue is still the main cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Google, Facebook. So, but Telcel Group has an interesting playbook. They've gone to several African countries already. But apart from the mobile operator side, they're also offering e-commerce services.
Oh.
And e-commerce service is like a community kind of e-commerce where you buy goods and services from people in your locality. So it's hyperlocal e-commerce. So once you have that app, and the app functions like a super app, you can use it to do other stuff too, and make payments and blah, 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 blah. Then apart from that, they also have cybersecurity services, all those cloud protection, firewall, and blah, 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 B2B service. Then they also have an initiative that supports startups. Or the Africa Startup
Telecommunication
Company.
And
not just a telecom company again. So it's a quite an interesting play. Which,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Look at Safaricom. Yeah, M-Pesa is not a telco. Like, it's not a telecommunication service.
Yeah.
But it's providing
a very huge
portion of the revenue.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense that you may now start thinking, how can I expand on this?
But you know, telecommunication companies in emerging markets, like they are still trying to boost their broadband penetration, they might fall into the deception that the revenue from voice will actually get to a very low point, to the extent that it's not be able to contribute to their revenue. And especially the fact that they are trying to promote broadband penetration, can't they move forward from that to fiber and just focus on data?
So if data becomes the cash cow, which it will eventually become, something needs to be the second fiddle. So when voice was a cash cow, data was the second fiddle. So if voice now shrinks, it's going to be the second fiddle for some time, but it's going to drop to a certain extent. Because let's think about it. If WhatsApp calls and internet calls basically become really, really good, like you cannot distinguish it from a normal voice call, would you still bother using voice?
No.
I mean, right now, a lot of people are not.
I was arguing with my friend Michael which day, like, why are you calling me WhatsApp? Why are you calling me WhatsApp?
It's actually so. I don't know why you were surprised.
I'm angry. Why are you calling me WhatsApp?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So I have a friend that we typically do very long calls.
And if it's long call,
yeah,
I understand.
Because of that, we don't use
normal call
because it's ridiculously expensive. I mean, you probably spend about 1,000 naira for those calls. So I have data almost always. So why not just use it? And see, it's so serious that my dad now calls me on WhatsApp.
Interesting.
Same thing here, and I always miss his calls because I put my WhatsApp on silent.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear anything.
And when I see what I do sometimes, I just come online, I'll call you on WhatsApp because I probably don't have a enough. There was a time when I used to buy airtime frequently, but sometimes I'm like, okay, a lot of the people I'm calling on WhatsApp, so why not just use WhatsApp?
So you can see if voice gets to that level.
But it is still...
It is still.
But okay, but now the market is more fragmented, rather, because fiber will also be competing with them. Yes, fiber providers. Yeah. So it's not just be... You know, it's only these telcos that provide voice.
Yes.
But now, I can see now.
You get it. I didn't even think about that fiber competition and satellites, internet.
Yes,
and
yes.
That.
So their market is now smaller.
You don't even need to have a SIM card. Okay, you might need a SIM card, but the SIM card is just there. You're not doing anything. Your internet connection is Wi-Fi. You have a small device in your hand that you can carry along. Maybe not a telco, maybe an ISP like Spectranet or Swift.
Yes.
And at home, you have a Starlink or you have a FiberOne. And that's it. So they have to start thinking about. And if there's anything I would actually say about telcos, they are one of the most forward-thinking companies.
And you
MTN's recent rebranding. They rebranded because they actually want to bring new things in. So hopefully, maybe they can take a leaf from Telcel.
You lose. And their own is more severe.
But the crazy thing is, I look at telcos and like they are core to everything we do.
Yes, so they can just tap into anything and they have the market already.
Yeah.
So I'm even wondering, why are they so scared right now? I mean, they are very, very, like, people can't.
Currently in Nigeria, like, they are supposed.
They are not scared of new entrants.
Mobile money should, like, be the trending thing in Nigeria this time.
No, let's not go there. don't, please.
Okay, next.
But fine. Telcos are trying to diversify and they're moving forward to other things. But again, I'm always so amazed with the way these guys think forward. Like, when they brought 4G to Nigeria, 3G. Penetration was still very, very low. Many people, it's not that people are even having 3G phones, crazy enough. It's not that 3G phones has gotten to a high level of penetration, but they brought 4G years ago.
So I guess the thing is they have very high barrier to entry. I cannot stand up to the angle, and I mean I probably need to raise about almost $100 million for me to do any serious thing in the telecommunication space. But a startup, God help you, if I learn how to code 6 months, I've launched a startup. So if that also means that anybody who is sufficiently motivated and sufficiently connected can wipe you off the face of the earth by just getting the right people. So it's either they are staying ahead of the innovation and just staying ahead of trends, or they wait. And we know a certain company in Nigeria that has waited until other people have come upon them. And now they are now number three in the market here. They are three major players. So it's just, I mean, it's either you move very fast
or you get stamped.
I know who does this, but I won't mention your name because I need to get interview. I need to get interview audience, I beg. So quick mention though, interesting, we move from Ghana to Angola, a South African country. Angola is building a national cloud project. $89 million worth of a cloud project, and what
funded
I
find, by.
I mean, they fund them.
It has to be an international, a global company or
so
something.
What they are building,
Africans, really,
I think it's government funding, because what they are building,
$89 million is small money.
So what they are building, I don't think there's any incentive for any international body to fund it. They want to build 2 data centers, massive data centers, to centralize all government activities and provide, for those who are not familiar, data centers are like these huge computer warehouses that allows you to have very, 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 very good internet connections in your country. So normally when you are browsing the internet, the signal goes from Nigeria to whatever country that has that website. But with data centers, you can have things locally. Then it also goes a step further to help companies that are dependent on technology to store and use data. So fintech companies, for instance, data centers will be very, very important to them to process transactions. So it could be the difference between failed and successful transactions. So now that we got that cleared up, they're building data centers, 2 data centers. So said these different ministries in Angola have different silos. So they want to centralize everything in one place, 2 data centers. Then they now want to build a national fiber network. So a few days ago, they unlocked the, they unveiled the fiber in the Cabinda province. So it now, so if you were familiar with the tech space in 2020, you remember I wrote about Lagos building a unified fiber project. Sorry, my time I set for myself is up, but it's fine. You remember Lagos is building a unified fiber project. 2 years on, we're still waiting for them to finish it, but that's beside the point. So it's something similar where they dig fiber around the country, where they only dig once, then every other operator can tap into that fiber to offer services to people. So Angola is doing that nationwide, and they're connecting those fibers to those data centers. So apart from that, they now want to open it up to all the ministries, government ministries, and open up, and .ao. So in Nigeria, we have .ng, so you know it's a Nigerian domain. So that is regulated by a Nigerian body, I think NIRA. It's NIRA, yeah. Then the body that regulates it in Angola wants to open it up so that they will offer licenses to companies that they can be offering this domain name to companies. Then they also launched a satellite last year to
Angola is balling.
Earth observation services. So, but everything is making me think about data sovereignty. A lot of people that are building data centers in Nigeria, in Africa, are not Africans.
Yeah, I asked that, funded by, because it's not something that African countries actually think
but
about.
But guess what? Nigeria already has like 2 government-funded data centers, top secret data centers that no one knows about.
Really?
Yes, in Lagos we have one data center in Lagos, supposed to be controlling all every tech initiative you are seeing in Lagos. So if you are living close to the capital city in Ikeja, you will see a lot of traffic lights. If you run a traffic light, it snaps your plate number and they send you a fine. What's controlling all of that? And they built a data center to house all those things so that everything can move very, very smoothly. Then recently the federal government just launched a data center in Kano. It's data sovereignty. Why? When your data is moving to these other foreign countries, sensitive data could move along that you don't want to be in the eyes
and
of
may not be
foreigners.
Safe for the country.
If you want to digitize government activities,
thinking of conspiracy theories.
No, calm down. So let's say driver's license data. We talk about building a national central database. Eventually, you will need to put it in a data center somewhere, store it somewhere.
True.
Is it, who do you want to use? Of course, the obvious answer would have been one, but it just got acquired by a US data center company. We have Airtel. Airtel Africa is, okay, yeah, they have Nigerian owners, but at the end of the day, Airtel is still.
Not Africa.
Then we have OADC, the guys that are building the data center for Google's Equiano cable. Again, OADC, okay, it's fine. But it's like a coalition of different telcos. And who owns those telcos?
Foreigners.
So you can see, I hope with these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you that more governments in Africa should actually be building data centers if they want to digitize their activities.
I see.
Okay. So I've bored you enough with all this information.
If you know what is good for us, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's like an interesting one. I want to see how it plays out. I want to see how people react with, say, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, all building data centers in Africa. Most of them in South Africa, though. And I want to see how all these centers that the governments are building play out. And finally, Chepaka has just laid off. Again?
Again, yeah.
Yep.
It sounded like news I've said before. That's why I said again.
Yeah, I mean, some people are doing it twice now.
Twice?
Yeah. What's that thing they say? Is it the third time is a charm or something?
Are you kidding me for Leo?
Yeah, expecting the third one now.
And you really can't.
Maybe they overestimated the blowback from FTX or something.
No, but they decided not to allude to that.
Oh,
that this has anything to do with FTX.
So how many people were laid off?
Okay, so this is another round of layoffs. The first one was in December. That one was like 2.5% of the workforce.
12.5.
Yes. This particular one is a third
of the workforce in Nigeria. Wait, another company?
Not in Nigeria alone. Globally.
Another company just laid off a third of its workforce. That's a pattern. Both. They laid off a third of their Nigerian workforce.
17 out of 70. Yes, yeah. They did too.
Okay.
In Nigeria. Theirs is like they want to intensify operation. I still don't get,
because people lay off for different reasons.
Cheaper or both?
Both.
Both.
Yes.
Want to intensify operations.
Yes, kind of. We are laying off. So I'm still trying to.
But I saw a news a day before the layoff was announced that Boat, number one, wants to invest $500 million in dollars. Sorry.
Have you not seen that story before?
In Africa.
No, that someone raised a huge amount of money and then a few weeks later, not months, a few weeks later, we are now hearing that, you are laying people off.
I also saw that they are doing global recruitments.
Yes, in fact, there are still four openings.
There are still openings Nigeria. In Boat, Nigeria.
Yes, but there are management rules. But this layoff affected junior and mid-level roles. So I don't know the plan, right? But they want to make the operations better. And I don't know what they're looking for because the people that were affected said the company has actually told them, assured them that there will be no layoffs, that all they just need to do is to restructure and move people across roles until they were called to a meeting and they were told that you guys had to leave. Well, it still boils down to how companies handle stuff like this. I don't even think layoffs will actually affect companies' brand these days because it's kind of like the usual thing.
It's not even making...
Was it ever affecting anybody's brand?
No. When it wasn't as popular, right? Companies are like very...
I mean, when Elon started it, everybody was bashing him.
Yeah.
The people that were bashing him were in the tech space. We are Nigerians. We've heard of a bank that did a round of recruitment for graduate trainees. And a few months down the line, less than half a year later, some senior employees or some older staff found out that they were relieved. So it was basically, we hire people, tell you to teach them. And then a few months later, we now relieve you. And they did it across the country. Well, it was, it's something that we see occasionally in Nigeria.
So I wish more employees would talk about all these things, right? There are a lot of
talking
human
about it. I actually went on LinkedIn to check people's stories about how they were laid off. No, just generally. Mm-hmm. And I used some keywords. And it was very difficult to see people talk about it in Nigeria or in Africa. Most of the, I'm sad to announce, they are like US, Singapore, UK, those countries, those regions, not Africa. I don't know why we don't talk about
this. Very obvious, isn't it? There's a kind of stigma when, you were fired. My friend was talking to me and was like in interview with a company and they asked him, why did you leave your former job? He said I was fired.
Yeah, I was shocked.
If I'm fired, I don't care what you tell me. It's just I was not good enough.
That's like, so yeah, being fired and getting laid off is really
two
I
lost my job.
Like what Move said, like we dismissed.
Dismissed them out. Those kind of things. But yeah, I wish more employees would talk. You can always reach out to me or Nifemi to talk about these issues. If you share your stories, we will not mention or even draw attention to anything about you. But I think more people should share the stories about the activities in the workplace. And save, avoid Chicken Republic and KFC for some time. Okay, hope I didn't offend KFC and Chicken Republic. Please go if you have money.
They'll cut it out.
Okay, but other things happened this week. Meta, after everybody bashed Elon again for charging for Twitter Blue to get verified. Meta also did his own, but you can check out the story on TechPoint. Then Jumba, Kenyan marketplace for construction materials. I see construction shops everywhere. Why are these guys not raising money?
Why are they not raising? These people have raised money, so it's not remaining. Sharp, build your website and see if you can enter that place.
So all I just need to do is build a website and say I'm connecting all the building material guys in Lagos.
That
and
shit
I raise
is
money.
Hard.
I mean, look.
That shit is hard.
Is it that
you are even going to the market to get stock yourself for building materials? You are getting scammed. Now, if you now want to use the marketplace, like Jumia for construction materials, you get substandard.
Is it? Will you?
You are you kidding? kidding me?
No, so the
like
the,
there's a market for substandard construction and course, building products.
Well, here's the reason I'm asking whether you so if I'm going to do that as a startup, I think I'll probably pay attention to
that is where the hard control. Work is. That yeah. is where the hard work is.
So that means that saying. For example, me myself doing it, I need to have guys that know what, because right now if you take me to the market and you sell me fake cement, bro, I'll buy it. So if I start something like that,
yeah, you have to do your due diligence.
Ah, that's crazy. Anyway, you can find more stories about all the issues we discussed today at our new fresh and packaged newsletters. If in tech today you want to learn more about the cheaper cash debacle, or you want to learn more about Dash, you can always check FinTech Today, handled by yours truly, Jingo Zerim. Then, if you want to learn more stuff about the workplace, how people are handling layoffs, and some of all those things employers put in your contract that you should be aware of, sign up to the Workaholic newsletter by Oluwanifemi, our senior editor, the birthday girl. Okay. Then, of course, the Daily Digest, TechPoint Digest. If you want to just get a 5-minute roundup of everything that's happening in the tech space in Africa, you can always subscribe to TechPoint Digest. And of course, you heard it here first last week. The Lagos Startup Expo
is happening in
May. It's happening in May at Landmark. Go and get your tickets. And if you're a startup out there,
go to Opiweka.
Sorry?
You should go to Opiweka.
Opiweka.
Oh God, you don't understand that reference.
Opiweka.
Nigerian movie. Grab your copy now.
No, it's a big way, Jole. Look, he do what at Lagos.
I see.
Hey. Yeah, Opiweka and Idumota. Okay, fine. So, but no, don't go to Idumota. Opiweka. Go to techpoint.africa/events/. Just go to lagosartupexpo.com, please. Thank you. Yeah, to subscribe. And yeah, did I miss anything? Guys? Okay, so newsletters, shout out to Onome and Gracious behind the scenes. They've been doing really, really wonderful, awesome jobs. And of course, Bolu is around, he's alive. Don't worry, you see him soon.
Of course.
He's around, he's alive. He's dealing with the metaverse.
Proof of life,
don't worry. So guys, see you next week. And we have lots and lots and lots of juicy content coming your way. So just watch out. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.